you ever find yourself looking for a good conversation starter, or even just something to talk about with family, friends, a partner, maybe a coworker? Welcome to the Offsides Podcast. This is a perspective show where we dive into all things sports and pop culture to keep you up to date. You might be asking yourself, why is this helpful to me? Going on a date with a sports fan? We'll get you caught up with the latest happenings, so you'll be sure to impress.
Want to know what's going on in pop culture or celebrity news? We've got you covered. We have the newest and hottest news about who's dating who, what the heck they were wearing, and even all the tea for popular reality TV shows. Offside is hosted by myself, Sonia.
And me, Andrew.
Giving you two perspectives on any topic and how to include it in any conversation. We are the hub for all things conversation starters and cannot wait to hear how our news, sports, and pop culture insight led to successful and engaging conversations.
Hello and welcome back to the fourth episode of Offsides. We're very excited today. We have our first guest ever, but to start, I'm Andrew with an A.
And I'm Sonia with a J, and you're listening to Offsides. We're your one-stop shop for all things conversation starters. We give you a unique and exciting perspective and all things to help you with successful and engaging conversations. We look into sports, pop culture for you to have the most up-to-date and engaging conversations. So without further ado, let's get started.
Before we jump into sports, and I can't waste any time, I just want to ask, did you see Dua Lipa at the Grammys?
Heck yeah, I did. Her performance was stunning. Her outfit was stunning. She's just gorgeous.
We'll get to that later, but I haven't been able to stop thinking about it since I saw it. So I had to start the show off with that. I had to bring that up.
Yes, she is absolutely beautiful, and she slayed it at the Grammys.
She absolutely did, and a team that I'm hoping slays it on the field is the USA men's soccer team. We spoke about Alex Morgan on a previous episode in the women's national team, the company that she was starting. But the men's national team is about to begin qualifying for the World Cup. Before that, they're going to play some friendly games, so that means that they don't count towards anything necessarily in competition. It's more of a tune-up to get the guys ready for those games that do count towards qualifying. Those games will be later in March, so make sure that you check those out. They're going to play Jamaica on March 25th, and then they'll face Northern Ireland a couple days later. Are you a big soccer fan?
Yes and no. I grew up going to a few, but not like religiously watching, if that makes sense.
Right. Did you play soccer when you were younger? I feel like a lot of young kids in America at some point in their life play soccer.
The extent of my soccer career was I went one day. My mom goes, Sonia, do you really want to play this? I don't think you do. Let's try something else. And I never returned.
That's when you transitioned to your ice skating endeavors?
I don't know if ice skating was quite yet, and but yeah, definitely changed a different sport.
Gotcha. Yeah, soccer in America is really becoming exciting. For a long time, America wasn't able to compete with other countries where soccer is viewed, you know, as almost a religion. People are so passionate about it. You walk the streets and you see everyone outside playing soccer, sometimes not even with a soccer ball, just with whatever they can kick. So it's the men's national team lately has had a lot of players that are playing in big clubs in Europe, in Spain, in Italy. So this should be really exciting because it's a new generation of players that really are performing at a high level and should be able to compete with the rest of the world. So make sure you check that. Again, they'll play on the 25th and then again on the 28th. It should be exciting. A lot of new players to learn their names. And I think it should be fun to watch. We talked about how you had such a short-lived soccer career. Someone that had a long, successful career in their sport, and I know it's someone that is near and dear to your heart because of his Purdue ties.
Oh my goodness.
Is Drew Brees.
Yes. Drew Brees is an icon not only in the sports world, but just the type of person he is and everything that he has done, not only for the world of sports, but, you know, for his community and everybody around him. He's absolutely just a wholeheartedly good person, and it's so exciting to see him, you know, kind of move on. He's been in the NFL for 20 years, and I'm really excited to see what he does next. My goal fingers crossed is that he goes into coaching. Hopefully he'll go back to his roots and go coach at Purdue, or at least help out with Purdue. But we never know. A girl can hope and dream. I remember seeing his release of him retiring. All four of his children were on Instagram, and they made a really cute video that was saying, you know, our dad's retiring so he can spend more time with us. And that's honestly, you couldn't ask for a better reason. I mean, family is everything to him, and that's really cool to see that his kids were part of that.
Yeah, that is awesome. For those of you who aren't familiar with Drew Brees' accomplishments, he has the most career passing yards. Him and Tom Brady all season went back and forth. One game, Drew would pass him, then Tom would have the game later in the afternoon and pass him. But he has the most career completions, best career completion percentage with at least 2,000 attempts, and the most seasons with 5,000-plus passing yards.
Wow.
Someone that is very acclaimed, very accomplished. And I'm sure you've seen it, maybe you haven't, the video of him talking to the Purdue football team before their championship game.
Which game was this?
This was a couple years ago, and he was in the locker room, and just a very passionate speaker, got the team fired up. And I thought the coolest thing is Drew Brees, obviously, is a quarterback.
Correct.
We just talked about all of his passing and completion records. But he spoke individually to each group of players in that locker room. Wow. He called them out and he said, wide receivers, you need to do this. Cornerbacks, you need to do this. Quarterbacks, you need to do this. So I thought it was cool that he understood that when you're talking to a group that large, you have to talk to the subgroups also.
100%.
You can motivate the team in general, but to really light into those guys like that, I thought it was really cool. And he could definitely, as you said, have a career in coaching, but I could also see him having a career in media and television.
Oh,
and
for sure.
Being on a broadcast or being a commentator. His, we're going to hear Drew Brees' name for a lot longer.
He's not going away. He's definitely going to be in the world of sports for sure. I think he just needs to take a break momentarily from the game, and then we'll definitely be hearing back from him relatively soon.
Yeah, definitely spend time with family. Like we discussed, the life of a professional athlete can be a grueling one, not only during the season and preparing for games and playing games and traveling, but in the off season you have to stay fit as well. So
you have to
maintain that training regimen, and even though you're not traveling and playing as many games as usual, it's still busy and takes time away from family. So Drew should enjoy his time away from the game, but we look excited to welcoming him back in whatever capacity that may be. One thing that I'm also looking forward to and is starting in the next few days, it will have already started by the time most people are listening to this, is March Madness.
Mm-hmm. March Madness. Are you excited? Are you going mad over it?
I'm sure I will be once I look at my bracket and there's a couple upsets and my bets that are on the line with all my friends are in jeopardy. I'm sure I will be going mad at that point. I'm super excited. I am getting every computer in my house I can find, every TV, so that I can pull it all up, have it all going at once. It should be very exciting. But my question to you is, do you fill out a bracket every year?
Yes. I have mine sitting in front of me. Thank you for asking. Recently filled out and prepped and ready to go. I love March Madness. It is, to me, one of the most exciting times of the year. College sports is fun to me because I feel like everyone is working towards the same goal to either, you know, get professional or to just be the camaraderie around their team. And, you know, March Madness is definitely that. I love the upsets. I love the buzzer beaters. I love the unexpected fans and everything else that comes with it. And I'm so excited.
Yeah, I think it's one of the most exciting events in sports. And for those of you listening who are kind of unfamiliar with how March Madness works, let me give you a little bit of background real quick before we dive into the brackets. March Madness is the NCAA Division I men's basketball tournament. And what makes it so exciting is there's a pool of 68 teams, so 68 teams qualify, but it's a single elimination tournament. So one bad game and you can be out. You could be the number one seed, number two seed, number three seed, one bad game, one fluke, one mistake from this player, that, and you can be eliminated. So when you mention the upsets, that's what makes it so exciting. And there are 7 rounds in which you compete for the national championship. You progress all the way through. There's the Elite Eight, which I'm sure, as you can guess, is when there's 8 teams left.
Yes.
That goes down to the Final Four, which then goes down to the championship game, and we're left with one winner from 68-1. The tournament's been played for a long time. It's been played since 1939.
Oh, my
goodness.
The
March Madness tournament. But it was not played last year. Due to COVID protocols, things of that nature, they were forced to cancel the tournament. So this might be the wildest March Madness ever. We missed a year of it.
I know.
It's coming back. All the games, usually the games are hosted all across the country. Teams are moving from stadium to stadium. You have these fans going crazy. The fans play such a big part in college basketball. But this year it's all going to be in Indiana. Limited fans. I think there could be more upsets than usual. But it's funny that I say that because I have my bracket in front of me. And I just realized I have all 4 number one seeds going to the Final Four.
Oh,
I think there will be a lot of upsets this year. But at the end, I think the top teams will still prevail. I'm curious to hear, how do you make your bracket? Is it based off rankings? Is it based off gut feeling? Is it based off teams' mascots, the color jerseys they wear? What is the method to your March Madness?
All right, so the method is I take a look at the teams playing each other and I go section by section. I go by, you know, their seed. I go by how I've heard their season's been doing, how they've been playing. Sometimes if I know the school is known for a basketball school, I'll probably take it more than a school I'm not aware of or know too much about. Sometimes I just like their mascot, I'm not going to lie, and I've definitely put them in front of other people. Other times, I went to a Big Ten school, so sometimes I pick them over other schools. I don't know why, just because they go Big Ten. And then other times, I just, you know, I just have a gut feeling, and that's the name I write down.
I feel that. I am definitely a gut feeling type of person. I look at the bracket. I typically take less than 5 minutes to fill it out, maybe 5 to 10. And I feel like that is better than doing a whole bunch of analysis on it, trying to figure out what I want to do. Because at the end of the day, the bracket's still going to be busted, and I'm going to be so upset that I spent all this time trying to figure it out. So I feel I like to just go with my gut feeling, that it feels a little bit more fun when you get it right than if you researched it and go with what the experts picked.
Yes.
But I like how you encompass a lot of different things in your decision-making strategy. I am curious, how far do you have Purdue going? How many games do you have them winning?
Well, I have them going to the Elite Eight, which I think that they could do, potentially. I think it's a good set for them. You know, I have them playing Baylor, and I have Baylor beating them out. Just because I know how Purdue works, and Purdue sports is, they get there, they're doing so good, and then the last second, that disappointment hits, and then you're like, well, shoot. There we go. So I have them going to the Elite Eight. They did it 3 years ago? 2-3 years ago, and they just missed going to the Final Four. So I'm going to stick with my gut and say they can pull it off to the Elite Eight. Now, who knows? They could go farther. They could go not farther, but that's my pick.
I feel like that's realistic. Purdue this year is a number 4 seed. If they play Baylor, like you predicted, Baylor is a number 1 seed. Just based on rankings alone, that's a logical choice that you would have Baylor beating them. But I know it had to hurt your heart to write in Baylor's name instead of Purdue's name.
Yes.
But I appreciate that you're a realist, that you want your bracket to stay intact. I actually have in my surprise team that I think will upset quite a few teams and make it to the Elite Eight. They are currently a number 6 seed, is San Diego State University.
Interesting pick. Very interesting pick there. I don't know how I feel about that. You know, I have them losing to Syracuse because I know Syracuse won it a couple years ago too, and I just feel like they're strong.
You have a first-round exit for SDSU, and I love that we have some parity here, that I have them winning 3 games, and you have them losing their first game. This will be fun to revisit and see who's right. I just, SDSU, I've seen them play so much. I watch them play because they're in the same conference as UNLV, and I feel like they're kind of underrated, that they have a lot of guys that do things well. They've shot the ball pretty well. They've been fairly consistent. So I've got SDSU making a surprise run to the Elite Eight. But at the end of the day, I've still got all four number one seeds in the Final Four. I think that's the first time I've ever chosen the all number one seeds to make it that far. Usually I never do that, so I'm not sure how I feel about that. But have you picked your champion?
So I have for my Final Four as Baylor, Syracuse, Florida, and Gonzaga.
Baylor, Syracuse, Florida, Gonzaga. We only have one of the same teams in our Final Four, which is Baylor. Mm-hmm. I have Gonzaga in my Final Four as well. Who do you have Gonzaga playing in the semifinal game?
This is the one that I haven't... I'm going to have to go...
So you have Gonzaga versus Florida, correct?
Yes.
And, sorry, this is Florida State that you have. Florida State.
Mm-hmm.
Florida is on the other side of the bracket. So, Gonzaga versus Florida State. Number one seed versus number four seed. Who are you going with?
You know what? I'm going to do upset. I'm going to do Florida State.
Wow. Florida State to the Natty. I have Gonzaga versus Michigan. Chose Gonzaga, which I went to Washington State University for a little bit. Choosing another Washington State school kind of hurts my heart, but they've got a good team. They've got a squad. All right, other side of the bracket, you have...
Baylor and Syracuse.
Baylor again, number one seed. Syracuse, 11 seed.
Yeah.
That's your dark horse, your mm-hmm. underdog.
Mm-hmm.
Who are you going with?
I'm going to go Florida State all the way.
Whoa, hold on. You skipped ahead. You skipped ahead. We got a Baylor or Syracuse. One of them has to win.
Yes. Okay, so I'm going to go Baylor's going to beat Syracuse.
Okay.
And then I'm going to go Florida State winning all the way.
Number four seed, Florida State, taking the national championship. Cinderella story.
Let's see it.
How awesome that would be. I have on the other side of my bracket, Baylor versus Illinois. Again, one seed versus one seed. And I've got Illinois-Gonzaga, two good teams in the final. Illinois, I think, has the best player in the country. His name is Cade Cunningham. I'm taking Illinois to win the championship.
Wow! You got a Big Ten school winning it?
That's my choice.
Interesting.
I mean, they're a number one seed. They've got good players all around, and... perhaps, arguably, the best player in the country.
All right. Well, best of luck to you. Let's see how that goes. I'll be watching all of the games in this upcoming week, and hopefully soon we'll have a player.
Yeah, hopefully there's not too many red lines in our brackets and teams we have to cross out.
All right. So before we move on from this, I do have one thing we should do. While this is going on, I think we should make a bet.
Okay.
Now, I don't know how this would work because we're all kind of all over the place, but if, let's go with Final Four. I think Final Four is a good one.
Okay.
If we get at least two of our Final Fours, we have to do something. What do you think we should do?
Ooh, something while we're recording the show?
Yeah, I'd say so. Something to give the people what they want, all of our listeners.
I know people love, and it's an easy one to do, especially while we're recording, the hot challenge, like the hot wings challenge, hot sauce challenge.
Ooh, okay.
We can bring some different hot sauces to the table.
Okay.
And we'll put each other in the hot seat. You got to take some hot sauce, and then you can ask the other person any question you want about anything.
You know, that's not a bad one. Okay, option number one. Option number two is?
Option number two, I think we can play. Have you ever seen the game where one person has to put water or something in their mouth and the other person tries to make them laugh?
Ooh,
and you try
yes.
not to spit out any of the water?
That's a good one. I like that one. Quality. So we got water.
got the hot seat. We got the try not to laugh water challenge. We got a couple options. We'll figure it out as the tournament goes along for sure. But I like that idea. I like putting something on the line. So are we playing whoever gets more in their bracket right, or we're just playing Final Four, like you said?
I don't know. I kind of... what do you think?
I say we tally it up. You get like 1 point for each game you get right.
Okay. I like that. Let's do it.
All right. I'm on board with that. I am completely on board. That should be a lot of fun. I always feel like a little friendly bet makes the games a little more exciting.
Oh, 100%. And then what we'll do is we'll put on our socials if we're going to do the Laughing Water Challenge or we're going to do the Hot Wing Challenge.
Completely, yeah. I like it. I like it a lot. Mm-hmm. All right, well, I don't want to take any more time away from our guest. I want to introduce our first guest ever. This is very exciting. We've talked about this guest on the show many times before, for those of you that have listened. We haven't mentioned her by name. We spoke about how you guys auditioned for a professional sports team cheer squad together. And we've also discussed The Bachelor a lot on this show and mentioned how you had a friend that made it pretty far in the application process, but was unaware that she was even put into the pool.
Yes, that is correct.
We learned that you can be, one of your friends can say, hey, we think you need a boyfriend. We're putting you on this show. Or, hey, we don't like who you're currently with. We need you to find a new one. So without further ado, go ahead and introduce our first guest.
Yes, our first guest on the Offsides podcast is Miss Dakota Ruckers. Welcome. How are you this morning?
Good. Now that I have my coffee.
Oh, even better.
What kind of coffee? What's your go-to in the morning?
I love a dark roast with pretty much any flavored creamer. I just bought a Fruity Pebbles flavor from Target.
I was going to say, are we talking Starbucks, Dutch Bros, or homemade? But you said you bought the creamer, so I know you're making it at home.
Yes, I use my Keurig, which I know is not the best, but it's just the easiest right now.
Dakota, are you going to watch March Madness?
I actually got called in to work for March Madness, so I'm sure I will see some of it in the madness of the sports bar that I have to be in.
It will be madness, that's for sure.
Madness.
Another thing I want to ask you is if you watched the Grammys at all.
I did not get the opportunity to, but I saw a lot on social media about Cardi B's performance.
Yes.
And based on what you've seen on social media, I want to hear your thoughts.
Well, I didn't really see any video clips. It was more photos, and it looked like it was pretty scandalous.
That's a good word to put it. I watched it, and I saw it, and my thing was, she pulled a Britney. And now, let me explain. Cardi B was lip singing, and she did not care that people knew that she was lip singing. Like, she didn't make it, like, it just, I'm going to dance, and that's all that matters. Where I feel like she Britney is more like she didn't want people to know that she was lip singing. I don't know. It's very interesting. What are your thoughts on that?
When you said she pulled a Britney, I thought you were going to say she kissed a girl on stage.
I have to be honest, Dakota, I wasn't sure which direction that was going either.
Yeah. Cardi can do whatever she wants. She already has that attitude that, you know, she doesn't care what people think about her, which I love. And let's be honest, every celebrity has done that at some point in their career.
That's for sure.
And so you said that you watched the performance. I want your thoughts on the stiletto stripper pole.
I did not watch the performance. Should I Google that right now?
You should Google it, Dakota Wall. I'm getting Sonia's opinion here. There was a stripper pole, and the heel of the stiletto is the pole. And then in the base of the shoe was a clear room where money was flowing on the dancers.
Yes, I actually had a job once, and we were at a sporting event for marketing and PR, and what they did is you got to go in this, we rented a machine, and you got to go and pick up all the money, and as much as you could pick up, you got to take with you. So it reminded me of that, But in the sense that it was in like a glass heel is something a little different. And I kind of like it. It adds the flavor and it's just absolutely stunning. You know, you can't go wrong with that.
It was very on brand.
Yes, very on brand is exactly the word I was looking for.
Have you found it yet, Dakota?
Yeah, it looks pretty cool. I like it.
Would you do it? Would you go in there?
Sure, why not?
Would you choose the money room or the stiletto heel stripper pole? Which one is more your speed?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question.
Maybe the stripper pole, actually, because I used to take, like, pole classes. Like a fitness pole class.
Ooh.
Okay, again, I wasn't sure what direction that one was headed in. She said, I would choose the stripper pole because I used to be a stripper. I had no idea where that was going. But that's really cool that you took kind of like fitness pole dancing classes. That takes a lot of strength. Speaking of your dancing abilities, I want to ask you about your experience auditioning for a professional sports team as a dancer.
Which sports team are we referring to?
Oh, there's been multiple.
Yeah, she doesn't give up.
Hey, I respect that about a person. So let's just hear about, it doesn't have to be any team in specific. You don't have to mention any of the teams by name, but just kind of your experience and what it was like, kind of what the process was like.
Yeah, one thing I definitely noticed about every audition is that it's super competitive. Obviously, being a professional cheerleader is something that is very sought out and popular. And so you just have to go into that already knowing that there's lots of competition. For the most part, girls are, you know, sweet and encouraging and uplifting each other. But you know how girls can be. Like, we all get in our heads when we're looking at what other girls are wearing or how other girls are dancing. So you just kind of have to go into it with the right mindset, I would say, for any audition.
What do you think was the hardest aspect of trying out? Do you think it was, like, the team itself, or, you know, of the organization you were trying out for, or what they expected of you? Like, what was the most challenging part of the whole process?
Well, I think with any team that you try out for, you definitely want to know, like, the team's history and basically every detail that you can possibly find out about the team, because you never know. They could do like a random, like a pop-up interview and just ask you questions just to see who really does know about the team that they're trying out for. So I would say maybe that would be one of the hardest aspects is, I mean, unless you really are a diehard fan of that team and it's easy for you to remember all their wins or their players or their coaches. I mean, they could ask you anything.
Yeah, I think you make a great point there, because at the end of the day, it's something that's very fun, something that a lot of people that are trying out obviously enjoy dancing. Like you said, it's sought after. It's something that you want to do. But it's still a job, and you have to prepare the same way that you would prepare for a job interview, a date, things of that nature. Look presentable, make sure that you're really on point, things of that nature. So I think that's really cool and important that you mentioned that, because I think a lot of people would kind of just glance past that. And I think that speaks to the person you are, that that's something that is important to you and that you recognized, hey, this is important. I better be ready because there's going to be a lot of competition there.
Yes, for sure.
Did you have a favorite part of the whole experience or something that you really enjoyed about trying out for the teams?
This past audition I did, I actually got with a private, I got like private dance lessons to prepare. I really enjoyed that. The girl who I paired up with and taught me was just awesome. And she was super helpful. And I felt like so much more confident going out there and performing the routine after I had taken the time to review it with her. So I'd say that was probably my favorite part.
Yeah, that's awesome, and that's really cool that you were able to work so closely with someone to prepare like that and come into the audition fully prepared, versus the flip side, and something I want to transition to is your bachelor experience, which you had no preparation for, because if I've heard correctly, you did not know that you were put into the applicant pool. Is that correct?
That is correct. It was quite a surprise.
How did they submit an application? Like, did they take a video of you? Did they just send in pictures? How did that all, you know, get started?
So this happened last summer.
Okay.
2020. I was in a relationship. Well, my best friend Jill submitted me for it back in February of 2020. I was currently in a relationship, but it wasn't the best. So she knew I wasn't very happy and just thought, why not? And a few months went by. I think it was probably like, and she obviously didn't tell me. And she just used like a photo or photos of me off of my Instagram to submit. I think it was probably like June. I was laying out with her in her backyard and she randomly asked me, she was like, so you haven't gotten any phone calls from The Bachelor, have you? And I was like, no, why would I? And then she just kind of giggled. And I was like, did you submit me? And she was like, yeah. And I was like, oh my God. Like I was excited, but I was also kind of like, well, I clearly didn't get picked because that was back in February.
Well, I have a quick question for you. If you would have gotten picked, you said you were in a relationship. I don't know what that relationship looked like or what point in the relationship you were by the summertime when you were laying out with Jill. Would you have gone on the show if you were selected?
Well, so she had mentioned that to me when we were laying out in June, and I said I hadn't heard from them yet. And literally the very next day, I was at my house, like, I don't even remember what I was doing, like probably cleaning my room, and my phone rang. And I noticed it was a Los Angeles number. And I was like, this is weird. So I answered it. And sure enough, it was a producer from The Bachelor. I talked to him for probably like a half hour. And he said that they were doing casting for the following season. And that they liked my submission that was, you know, put in back in February, and that they wanted to move forward with casting. And I was still in my relationship at the time, and I told him that I would think about it and get back to him. And that's when I then decided a few days later that it probably wouldn't be best if I went on, because I didn't want to be known as the girl. You know, there's a girl every season who they call out for just coming on for fame or whatever, that who like really had a boyfriend back home.
Totally. You gave that producer the classic, I'll let you know. It's like when your friends ask you if you want to go out, you're already laying in bed. You've already got Netflix rolling and you text them back, I'll let you know. Just give me a couple minutes and I'll let you know. And that means, all right, we know you're not coming out. It's okay. You could just
basically
tell us.
Basically, yes. So what did they ask you? I'm curious, what questions did the producer ask you or the casting people? Did they ask you anything specific or what would be like your storyline or something like that? Or was it just, do you want to be on the show or not?
They didn't really ask me any questions. It was more like, we want to move forward with the casting process, and we, you know, you've been selected to be one of those people. So he emailed me a form that I would have had to fill out. Like, it asked so many questions, like, you know, do you have tattoos? Do you have piercings? Like, where are you from? How many siblings? Like, basically your life story on this paper. And I looked it over, but I never ended up filling it out because I knew that I probably wasn't going to move forward with it. What else? That was basically it. He said, I'll just send you this. You can look it over. And if you decide to do it, then fill it out and send it back to me. Yeah. I mean, in hindsight, I'm kind of glad I didn't do it, especially with all of the drama going on this season now.
Interesting. So it would have been for Matt James' season, is what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Interesting. Yeah. I always was curious how they found, you know, these girls, and if, like, people actually ever went on The Bachelor from their friends submitting. So this is actually kind of funny to see that it really does work if your friends submit it. And I'm very intrigued by the whole process of them picking people and knowing your life story, tattoos, piercings, siblings. Was there anything that surprised you on that list of questions that they were asking?
Like, they ask you really in detail stuff, like if you have any sex tapes or if you've ever sent a nude and stuff like that.
Oh, wow. Is it because they don't want it to come out?
I'm assuming a lot of these girls probably lie about that.
Yes. Yes.
But I still have the producer's number. I mean, maybe one day if I decide to go on there, I could give him a call and be like, hi, remember me?
I have my paper filled out.
Yeah, exactly. I'm all ready.
Dakota, if you're on there, I would definitely watch. And I want to ask you about something. And the premise of this show is really to talk about conversation starters and how to keep a conversation going, start a conversation, whether that be with a coworker or with your family or on a date. So I want you to tell me, in your opinion, what is a good conversation to have on a first date, and what is a bad topic to bring up? Just one of each. One good topic to bring up on a first date and one bad topic.
I always like to ask people, if you were to win the lottery, what would you do with your money?
Ooh, okay.
That kind of tells a lot about a person, and then that can kind of open up a conversation to, you know, what they're hoping to do in the future. Or I just like, even on a first date or even just texting with someone that you're, you know, interested in, I always like to play 21 questions because it's just so, like, to the point. You just ask the question, you get your answer, and then you just, like, I feel like it's a very, like, fast way of learning about each other.
Yeah, totally. And I think, like you said, when you're texting, that's one that seems to work a little bit better than when you're in person, because sometimes, even though it is a back and forth, I feel like sometimes it can feel a little too interviewy.
Oh, yeah.
You don't really get to vibe with each other because you're thinking about your next question, especially yes. When you're in person, you're not taking the time to listen to the answer because you're thinking about the next. I mean, it's truth. You're thinking about the next question you want to ask, if that's what you're doing. When you're texting, you take more time to read it and you have it there and to think about it. I'm not saying that you don't listen to the other person. It's just natural that when yes. you're together, you're thinking about the next question because you know that's what's going on. I think that's awesome. Now I want to hear, what's the good, what's the ugly, what's the bad topics to bring up?
Yeah, good question.
I think obviously maybe like politics is something you might not want to talk about on the first date. If you know for sure that your views are opposite, if you know already that you're, you know, on the same side, then that might be a good first date topic then. Same with religion.
Yeah, I think that, yeah, like you said, politics and religion, two things that can be very, yeah, there can be multiple sides to it. Kind of, yeah, like you said, a slippery slope, it's kind of sticky. So good to just, on the first date, avoid that. Get to know each other first. Find out if you actually like this person before you start throwing those views at them.
Yeah.
I think that's a great topic. I am curious also whether you prefer dates in the morning, like a breakfast or brunch date,
ooh,
versus a dinner date. And the reason I ask this, and the reason I like to find out from people, is because I feel like a breakfast or brunch date, you talk about things that are going to happen in the future. What's going to happen with the rest of your day? It's kind of a forward-thinking, forward-looking date, versus kind of when you're at a dinner date, I think you talk about kind of the past and what had happened in the day. Just based on the time of day, I think naturally. Dinner, you talk about the past. Lunch, brunch, breakfast, you talk about what's coming in the future. Do you have a preference when you're early on in a relationship or just meeting someone to go on a brunch date versus a dinner date?
I do. I think I prefer dinner. I was just having this conversation with someone the other day. We were talking about potentially like me starting up some dating apps, which I've never done before. And she was telling me, instead of meeting for dinner, like where you're stuck there for, you know, a couple hours, just meet for drinks or a drink. That way it's easy to get out if you're not feeling it and you're not stuck there feeling obligated to sit through an entire dinner. And same, you could do that in the morning too, just meet for coffee. You know, you don't have to sit there and eat an entire breakfast. But I really am not like the biggest morning person. As you can tell, I'm still in my robe and my pajamas. So that's why I would prefer dinner, I think.
I got you. Yeah, like I said, I think the conversation is a little bit different based on time of day.
Yeah.
And also, I just feel like post-date expectations are also different. So definitely, I think you can, there's a lot of ways to make sure that you are comfortable on a date. Like you said, whether it just be grab coffee, grab drinks, so that it's, you know, the expectation is that it's going to be a shorter just kind of meet. If we like each other, if we vibe, then we'll do this again. There'll be a longer follow-up, whether it be in the morning when there's daylight out, afternoon, whether it be nighttime. There's definitely ways to make sure you are comfortable on a date.
But I have a question, though.
Yes.
I'm sorry to interrupt. So let's say this is a hypothetical situation. So you meet on a dating app, because she talks about going on dating apps, and then you're talking, you set the thing, you meet up. After you initially meet and you're like leaving, oh, so good to see you, you know, great, we'll hang out. Do you ask for their phone number or do you ask for a social media? Like, do you ask for Instagram or do you ask for Snapchat or do you ask for a phone number? Because that's a like question people want to know. Because I had a friend, she's like, well, I don't feel comfortable with this. But like nowadays, people would rather give their Snapchat or their Instagram as opposed to a phone number. Which a phone number, I don't understand. I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I feel like I don't think I've ever gone on a date with someone that I didn't already have them on social media.
Okay.
Because, you know, I like to know who I'm going to go on a date with. And Snapchat just seems kind of like, so yesterday. Like, I want to see photos of you. I don't need to see, like, your Snapchats. I want to see, like, what you post about or if you have any good captions. I love a good caption.
You love your caption.
You know that, Sonia.
Yes, I do.
I think Snapchat early on in building a relationship to, especially someone that you feel you're going to be romantically interested in, is a lot of work because you want to look good in every picture.
Yes.
You want to look like you're fun and exciting and you're always doing things. Like,
that's a good point.
I feel like Snapchat later on can be fine because you're just like, you take a picture of your forehead or like up your nostrils.
No! Mood!
But when you're first starting out, especially like I said, with someone that you think you want to be romantically involved with, it's a lot of work. Just text me, bro.
And I feel like I post more personal things on Snapchat. So like,
yes,
I only like let you be my friend on Snapchat if like you've made it there, like to see my whatever, like of my dog or. I don't know. I post a lot of food on Snapchat versus like Instagram.
I totally get that. And I think you're right. Snapchat, I think for a lot of people, is more personal. But before we wrap things up, I want to end with something a little fun, Dakota. I've heard that you are a good celebrity impersonator.
Well, Sonia thinks I am.
So a couple that I've heard, and you don't have to do these ones if you feel there's other ones you're good at, and sorry to put you on the spot like this, but I've heard that you've got a Britney, a Paris Hilton, maybe a Kardashian.
Yeah, they tend to come out a little better if I'm intoxicated, I feel like.
I feel that. Well, let's get 9 in the morning, coffeed up, Dakota. Which celebrity are we going to get?
Wait, can I do Cameron Westcott from Housewives of Dallas?
Of course, yes. Why not? Let's hear it all. Whatever's in your repertoire.
Stephanie has trained me on this one a little bit.
Okay, all right.
Okay, so she's like, Court, you need to make sure that you walk fancy every single morning, or else she's not going to get her exercise, okay?
That was pretty good.
That's, I don't know. I feel like Stephanie can probably do that one better.
That one was good. I wanna get at least one more, though.
And then Percy was like, that's hot.
I'm sorry, can you repeat that? I didn't hear you.
That's hot. Do you so it's like slitting, yes. Slitting. That's Paris Hilton's word she made up.
What does it
it's
mean?
A combination of slaying and living.
So what does she say?
Slitting.
Oh, okay.
So she's like, yes, slitting. That's hot.
So do you sing in your impressions and impersonations, or are they all just spoken? And I'm not going to make you sing right now. I'm just curious. You're out. You've had a couple drinks. Are you just saying them, or do you also, when you sing, really get into it?
With Britney, yeah.
Well, now I have to hear it. Now I just have to hear it. If it's able at this time.
Like, oh, God. Let's see, which song should I do? She just has that, oh yeah, in everything, in every song.
Yeah.
There you go. You've got it down. Well, Dakota, thank you so much for joining us on the show. You were such a great guest, and we look forward to having more guests and hearing more stories and getting their topics on some of the things we talked about today.
Yes, it was so exciting to hear your experience, you know, working and trying to be on a professional sports team, whether it's dance and cheer, and also your application process for The Bachelor. Hopefully, maybe in the future, we will definitely see you on our screens, and maybe you'll take a chance on the next Bachelor. But thank you so much. We really appreciate it. And you guys, make sure you follow us on social media at Offsides Media. We're so excited to get your guys' input, hear what you have to say, what you like, and how our topics helped you with an engaging conversation. And maybe we'll mention you on our next episode. I'm Sonia with a J.
And I'm Andrew with an A.
And we'll see you next time on the Offsides podcast.